Merry Christmas and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we continue with our celebration of the 12 days of Christmas with lots of days of great programming. That's what we're doing to celebrate the days of Christmas, great programming. We always finish the year with two just wonderful shows where we get to reflect on the, I don't know if winners and losers is the right word, but we get to reflect on those who were celebrated and those who were the opposite of celebrated in our big end of year survey that we do with our radio club members and with our Society 315 donors. So thousands of people have the opportunity to participate in the survey, and we ask them all kinds of things. We ask them things ranging from who's the Catholic person of the year, who's the person of the year, what's the big news story of the year, what's the big Catholic story of the year. Sometimes those are the same thing, but not always. And then we get, the day before the last broadcast of the year, we get really smart people to come in and comment on the big stories of the year. And then the last day of the year, we get Chris Check and Joe Heschmeyer to come in and comment on the big stories at the end of the year. So it's a nice little a tradition that we have developed here. We're really grateful to everyone who participated. So you get to just relax this hour and find out some of the winners in the big categories this year, including, you know, the TV and movie show. We added that. We changed some things this year. So the TV show and movie, not TV and movie show. The TV show and movie and some other categories for this year. And we welcome the smart people now. First, farthest from me, Tim Ryland, the editor of the Catholic Answers magazine. Hi, Tim Ryland.
I think I'm here on the wrong day, Cy.
You're on the Smart People Day. Tomorrow is Chris and Joe. Today is Smart People Day.
At least one of us.
And also the director of publishing here at Catholic Answers, Todd Agliolaro. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Cy. It's always a pleasure to be the warm-up act for Chris and Joe. I look forward to it every year.
That's what you are. Right, you're the warm-up. Well, you know, some of the greatest acts in history have opened for the Rolling Stones. So sometimes the opening act is the good act.
All right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like ZZ Top used to open for the Rolling Stones.
Wow. Really?
So you're like the ZZ Top of...
We've got to get Jimmy in here.
Yeah,
Jimmy Akin has
to be involved somehow.
He does look like... but I feel like I want to start off with the biggest news of the year, really. And I know that's the backwards way to do it. But the biggest news of the year... that we all, I mean, it's a great cause of celebration, really. It's good that the biggest news of the year is positive news. And that, of course, is that Tim Ryland got married. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cy. I was waiting with bated breath. What a letdown.
Well, don't tell your bride that. What a letdown.
No. She's not a letdown. I mean, the news might be a letdown to people waiting breathlessly to hear something exciting.
But congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Congratulations. What a wonderful thing.
Blessed beyond belief.
Yeah, yeah. Marriage is a good thing. You've always been a big supporter of marriage, Todd.
I have, yes. Alone among
Sorry
my
to wake
peers.
You up for that.
I'm also a supporter of chocolate ice cream and puppies and other good things. Yes, I am.
Very, very good.
Special.
See, Todd asked me how, like, before we do these shows, sometimes how much of a smart aleck he can be. That's too much. Okay, I just want you to know that
I went over the limit.
That went over the line.
Good, that helps me.
Right. If you want to make fun of what Tim says, perfectly acceptable. You want to make fun of what I say? No. Tell us the magazine though, looking beautiful this year. How are you feeling about the magazine? It has had some changes.
Yeah, it's had some big changes. We went to a new paradigm about a year ago. Our subscribers, paid subscribers, got folded in with anyone else who supports us in any way.
Yeah.
And just ask for the magazine and you'll be getting it. We went through a change in the format, in the content. We folded a quarterly newsletter into the beginning of it that talks about the Apostle, which seems to be pretty popular. And we went from, over three times the number of people that we're reaching with it. So that part is real exciting to me.
Yeah, right. Because that magazine is an indispensable tool for people who want to be, you want to engage in this kind of explaining and defending of the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Often perennial issues taken in a new way, but also the world is constantly presenting us with new issues that we need a Catholic response to.
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, the latest issue that will be in people's hands, hopefully for the next couple of weeks, has one of those articles I'm real excited about. It's actually a transcript, modified transcript of the address that was given out by our keynote speaker in September, Bishop Thomas Paparki.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an excellent...
Is my phone in here? Somebody's directions are on.
I think Bishop Paparki's coming for me.
did you hear that? Like, I don't have my phone on me. Do I? Did I leave it in here? So, well, something is giving us directions to
Not
this
me.
Building. And sorry, you're all like, and the magazine's really good too.
Thanks.
In addition to the directions of how to get to the building. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're having a little too much of the eggnog, apparently. And
or not enough.
I think it's my phone is somewhere in the studio, but I can't see it. So if you want to come in and look for it, you guys are welcome to come in and look for it and see if you can find it and turn it off.
We'll blame it on the people off camera.
This is probably a bad thing for me to say. You do so much great work on the magazine, and it has, and constantly improving. I still love the little questions in the back.
I know you do, Si.
I love the little, but maybe it's because of short attention span.
Well, I always find it, you know, after you've been in the men's room.
Just
right there to the quick questions.
We do keep copies of the magazine.
I know we do.
How do you feel about that?
I have very mixed emotions when I walk into the men's stall and see the Catholic answers all lined up.
Did they leave it here? Or
I think it's a backup for the toilet paper.
Now that's not right. Like the old Sears Catholic. Oh, I found it in my pocket. I do have my phone here. I'm sorry, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, we try to do save our best programming for the end of the year. So in a moment, my wife will be calling. Todd, what about publishing this?
Why do you have to do Google to get the directions to work? How long have you worked here, Zach?
It's pathetic, isn't it? Like, I've worked here 6 years. Yeah. I did this commute every day, but I can't remember how to get here.
Boy.
No, it's because I was cutting it close today because I was tallying this morning. So I did my tallying at home because I had to tally up the... this is how it works here. You do your own work. There's nobody here to do your work.
Absolutely.
So I had to tally up the results of our survey.
The poll.
And so I told Darren, I'll do it at home and then I'll come in when there's less traffic. Well, then I was like, oh, shoot, I'm leaving late. So I put it in Google, not to give me directions, but to tell me what time I'm going to get here.
All right, story.
I do know the way here, Todd.
Right.
He doesn't seem to be convinced that I know the way to work.
Look, it happens when you get older, Si. It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many things people say that to me about. But tell me about the publishing this year. Can you remember it, Todd? You're getting very old.
The difference between the two of us, Si, is that I admit it, see?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we've published a lot of great apologetics books this year. We just put to bed a number of our spring titles that we're pretty excited about. One of them is kind of a step out for us. You know, we mostly do apologetics and evangelization.
Yeah.
We're a niche publisher. Every now and then, when the occasion comes, we do something more in the spirituality vein, so we've done one of those for the spring, and it's by our friend Father Sebastian Walsh, who's I think a guest every now and then.
Yeah, he is a very popular guest here.
And he's written a book about understanding and living the Beatitudes. Called Heart of the Gospel. And I'm kind of a crusty guy when it comes to spirituality. I don't do a lot of spiritual reading, certainly not as much as I ought to. But this book really, really softened my heart and was very edifying for me on a spiritual level. So we're excited to
bring
that one out in February. Yeah,
yeah, he's a real find. Mm-hmm. He's gotten some good books out of him.
Mm.
Yeah, really good books. All right, well, I can't believe it. It's already time to take the break. So we're gonna by the end of this program. We will announce the Catholic Person of the Year, but have you either of you got a guess of who the Catholic Person of the Year is going to be? It's actually a hard year. Like the year that I hate to keep bringing this up, but it traumatized me. The year that the guy threw the Pachamama into the river, there wasn't really much debate. That guy won by miles. Right, people didn't even know his name, and I still I don't remember his name, and I apologize for that, but because you should remember people's names, but I can't even remember how to get to work, all right? So, but that guy won that year because he threw the Pachamama in the Tiber. And then he won the next year. He didn't do anything. They were just still so happy about the Pachamama getting thrown in the river that he won 2 years in a row. So, but we don't have anybody like that. Like, this is not a year where you go, it's just obvious who it is. You know, there's some, you know.
Well, are we doing it like of the most influence, like the best or worst? Or is it just like the best Catholic?
Oh, no, it's
Time
not.
Time Magazine will put,
Hitler know, was banned Hitler. Of the year for Time one time. Right.
Yeah, and I actually approve of that. Okay. I think you should do the most impactful person of the year. Now, I don't approve of Hitler. I didn't want that to come out that way. I just think that in journalism, you should just kind of go for it. Just say who had the biggest impact. And like the year that 9/11 happened, Time Magazine kind of chickened out because it should have been Osama bin Laden. But that because clearly
they just couldn't do it.
But they couldn't bring themselves. Right. There was too high an emotion. Some people would have stormed the offices. But do you disagree with me on that, or how do you guys?
Oh, I agree completely.
I agree.
Oh, you do really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You guys are big Osama bin Laden supporters.
Love that guy.
I mean, I don't want to twist your words, but I agree. So I think Catholic, we don't tell people anything else. We just say, name the Catholic person of the year. So it can be bad or good, whatever. So you got somebody bad in mind? You're like,
I wouldn't call you bad, but I think you're a mixed bag.
So I get your vote for Catholic person of the year.
Well, let's see what happens in the next 40
Do you have any
minutes.
Guesses?
Can we do it after the break?
Yeah, we can do it after the break. Sure, we can.
I got to think about this.
All right, you need Google? You want me to
ask Waze?
It's going to be a great show. We're going to be searching Google throughout the next 2 hours. All right, it's our super fun end of the year programming has begun. We do a survey each year. We ask the members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club, which you can join for free, and you get cool stuff for joining. Or members, and we have now included members of the Society 315 because that's a big group of our. Sponsors and people who are connected to us, you know, by supporting us and listening. And we ask them all a whole bunch of questions, 14 questions, I think, this year. And we'll start when we come back with the Synod on Synodality question. But we got a whole bunch of things like the pro-life person of the year, the Catholic person of the year, the Catholic trend of the year, both positive and negative we did on that. So lots of fun still to come with Tim Ryland and Todd Aguilera right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Faith is a precious gift from God. As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm getting old. I need Google directions to tell me how to get to work, even though I've worked here for 6 years. And I forgot to tell you guys we were doing Catholic Person of the Year. So that's kind of a big...
You caught on.
you caught on now? Well, that'll be for the end of the show, so you have time to prepare yourselves. But do you have guesses? I didn't realize I was springing a new thing on you. I left it off the list, and that was just dumb of me.
We're so good at that, though. You can spring anything on us.
I was just telling Tim before the show that the older I get, the less extemporaneous I'm capable of being.
I have to plan
isn't everything.
Yeah. I went to my 40th high school reunion and talking with the guy who was the funniest guy in the class, and he said something funny, and I tried to come up with a funny, and I literally paused for, I think it was 6 minutes of, I was like, man, I'm lightning fast.
Not you, Si.
But you're still trying to impress the guy who was funny when you were 17, you know, even though, And I love the guy. He's still making the same really bad jokes he was making. But it was funny then.
Still funny? Not so much.
Funnier than I am. Okay. Let me put it that way. Because I could
quicker than you are.
Yeah,
anyway.
And then I just kind of went, I had COVID. You know, that's kind of like an excuse. Like, I got a slow brain now. I had COVID.
Nice.
So, do you guys have any guesses on the Catholic Person of the Year? Whatever you say, I'm not going to react in any way.
Well, Tim and I had the same guess.
But I changed mine.
Oh, you changed yours?
Yeah, I don't want to be in concert.
I understand that.
All right. You sound like Brian Wilson.
the later Beatles, I'd prefer to be.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Wait, you don't like Brian Wilson?
I love Brian Wilson.
Oh, okay.
He's a genius.
Yeah. Pet Sounds really is as good as... It's one of those albums that really is as good as they say it is.
Yes.
You don't agree.
Oh, Pet Sounds, Pet Sounds, Pet Sounds. That's all we ever hear is Pet Sounds. He's all right.
Caroline No is that thing makes me... I start choking up every time Caroline No plays. Okay, so let's start with Todd then.
At least you didn't say God Only Knows, so that's good. One more for you then.
I'm going to sing it now.
I would say the guest, trying to kind of put myself in the mindset of our listeners, I would say Archbishop Corleone.
Oh, yeah, because of...
because of his courage in promoting Eucharistic coherence with politicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, you did that whole answer without saying the name Nancy Pelosi.
Good Nancy who?
Look at that. What a good...
How quickly we forget.
Yeah, I think that...
Just
okay.
Trying to keep the IRS at bay.
You know? So what did you switch to?
I came at it from the opposite direction. I'm going to have to say Joe Biden. Because of the incoherence seems to have, you know.
I mean, if you're Catholic and you're the president of the United States,
right,
one way or the other, you're in the running for Catholic Person of the Year.
Right.
And by one way or the other, I mean whether people think of you
positive.
But I do think a lot of people probably assume we only want saints or something like that, but not newsmakers
right.
who are Catholic. So
right.
I'll give you guys a hint. I'm not saying whether this person won or not, but whenever someone says Catholic Person of the Year, you can never go wrong. You're going to be in the top three with Father Mike Schmitz. Everybody loves Father Mike Schmitz. I don't know why. Why do they love him so much? Because he's a good priest, good and faithful priest teaching the scriptures.
What's so
great about that? Oh, yeah. He's also young and handsome. Right. I was young once.
And?
I'm just saying. It did happen. All right. So I want to tell you about the Synod on Synodality. The Synod on Synodality.
Rolls right off the tongue.
The meeting on meetings. Mm. The conference on conferences.
Mm-hmm.
We asked people, did you participate? And I think the worldwide participation is somewhere around 1% or 2% of Catholics, which is not a disaster. I mean, sometimes 1% or 2% response on a thing, like you could kind of like dismiss that as a disaster. But it's also not an overwhelming, you know, I'm so glad to get to participate. It's kind of an in-the-middle thing. But
Is that Catholic adults, like eligible Catholic adults, or all Catholics?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't actually know. I just know that the number I've heard is somewhere in worldwide. And in some countries higher, you know, like 5 or 6%.
Hmm.
In some countries lower. But all I've heard is that general number, somewhere between 1% and 2% of Catholics. And I don't know how many Catholics there are. They're like 1.25 billion of us or something. So,
if we're all Catholics, that's
1%. That's like, I'm not good with numbers. That's more than 1,000 people, right?
Ask Google.
1%. That's a lot of people. All right. So, but what do you think the percentage was on? All we asked him was yes or no. Did you participate on our Radio Club members and Society 315 members? What do you think their percentage was? Any thoughts?
Less than 1%.
7%.
Well, you gave him a full 7%. I was shocked at the number. It was almost 20%.
Oh, my goodness.
Participated in the Synod on Synodality. Yeah. We didn't ask them to. We're on the air right now. Why do you ask? I participated prayerfully. Okay?
That's a wonderful response.
20% of our radio club participated in the
Synod? Radio Club and Society 315 members, we polled them both. So that's several thousand. I don't know how many thousand, maybe 10, maybe 15, but 1,000 people. And 20% said of the respondents. But now I'm just realizing something, though. The respondents are by nature people who respond to things.
A self-selecting group,
that's
called.
It's kind of a self-selecting group, yeah. Of the people that we got to respond to us, 20% said they responded to Pope Francis. So I don't know if that actually means anything now. I've just devalued that statistic.
Yes, you have.
So I don't know. I wish the Pope well on this, but I don't think that it will do what he wants it to do. And I've said that before. And this is I don't think this is a criticism. I wish him well because I do think it is very hard with a billion something Catholics and, I don't know, 6,000 ordinary bishops and thousands more auxiliaries and other kinds of bishops to consult with the church. It's really hard to do, to mm-hmm. consult with the church. Mm-hmm. And we do have a New Testament example of consulting with the church, at least consulting with the leaders of the church, the elders and the apostles and all that, that's how we listen for what the Holy Spirit is moving, how the Holy Spirit is moving. How do you do that? I still don't think anyone has solved that. I don't think Pope John Paul II solved that problem. I don't think Pope Benedict did. I mean, Pope John Paul solved it by writing an enormous number of letters to us. Yeah. And I guess we were allowed to write back if we wanted. But I don't know. What do you all think? There is some negativity around the synod and synodality.
Well, my wife went to it.
She did?
Yeah. She participated actually at the parish where Todd goes. So, I would characterize that parish as a very faithful Orthodox parish. And she said that most of the people there seemed to be of that stripe, but she had mixed reactions about what she figured would be the efficacy of it.
Yeah.
Someone scribbling notes the whole time, and a group of eight people, and you like pass a crucifix around, and you can only talk if you're holding the crucifix. And it sounded a little not something that I probably would have gotten anything out of. But she at the time she thought it was worthwhile. Looking back, we talked about it last night. She said, I don't have a whole lot of hope about anything that was said, like reaching the upper levels of the hierarchy.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I actually wish I had participated because I got some stuff that I want to say. Like, I want to say, dioceses are too big. Could we make them smaller, please? I just want to say that everywhere I go as a Catholic. These mm-hmm. are too big. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at the bishops for having big dioceses. I just don't want them to have big dioceses. I don't know.
I'm kind of quadruply cynical about...
Quadruply.
Yeah.
I'm going to start my notes right now. Okay. You can hold the crucifix.
See if I can remember all four points. Well, as to holding the crucifix, I've worked for two dioceses, and I know that in chancery culture for many, not all, or at least at the time that I was working at these dioceses, there's a love of process and over results. And this, what you described, Tim, of holding the crucifix and kind of, and I suppose you need to have order somehow. So I repent of my own cynicism, even as it escapes my lips. But I do know that love of process, which manifests itself in any kind of institution, whether it's a PTA or a parish council or the Boy Scouts. So, I'm not sanguine about the efficacy of such things.
Yeah,
okay. I'm when it comes to self-selection, I'm cynical about the kind of responses we're going to get, and in fact, some of this is borne out already by some of the results we're seeing. That the people who will go to these things to an inordinate degree are those who believe that we should have kind of democratization in the church when it comes to faith and morals, not just in decision making and kind of steering the path along the margins, which might be right, but those who believe that yes, you ought to hear what I have to say and listen to me and change church teaching because of it.
Right.
Those will be inordinately, I think, the ones who go to these things, mm-hmm. and that's going to skew the kind of results. And so you see some of the stuff that leaks out, or has been leaking out from the results of these gatherings, people saying that they want to see changes in all of the controversial teachings, all the hard teachings, mostly sexual ones.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
So we're already seeing some advance notice of that.
Yeah.
And that bears out, I think, my second reason for cynicism there. And then a third one, because I've forgotten the fourth. I should have made notes to myself on my phone. But to what extent are there preordained results that that our leaders, that our church leaders, our clerical leaders want to get out of this. Yeah. And having this grassroots exercise is kind of a formality. I don't know. I think in some of their minds probably it is. I don't know that it's the dominant mentality there, but
yeah.
So that's my third reason for cynicism.
Yeah, I
have lots of reasons for cynicism about lots of different things. So ask me anytime.
Okay, I'll be like, Todd, how many reasons for cynicism do you have about? And I'll just name something.
Reason the first.
Well, I don't know if my reason for a bit of cynicism matches with any of those three. I feel like it matches with one of them, but I want to see what you think. One of the problems with Catholicism is professional Catholics. And all of this is going to be filtered through professional Catholics. Mm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You mean parish and diocesan apparatchiks?
The people we used to be, working for the diocese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or working at the parish level. Mm-hmm. Are they capable of hearing that criticism that you in many ways are one of the problems, not as individuals, but as a collective, as the way we bureaucratize the church, all of that. Yeah. So I feel like that matches with one of yours about process.
Sure.
But that music means we got to take a break. We will take a break, and we'll do all kinds of results from our survey, end of year survey, and we'll ask Tim and Todd what they think right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whywearepro-life.com.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
This is Dr. David Anders. Are your friends or family discouraging you from becoming Catholic?
We can help on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Merry Christmas. We are in the fifth day of Christmas today. There are 12 days of Christmas. And when you get to Epiphany, January 6th, you're out of the 12 days of Christmas. That's the fifth is the last day of Christmas, the Feast of the Epiphany, or sometimes the Feast of the Wise Men, or there's different names for it.
Toyotathon goes all the way through January 31st, though, just so we're clear about our calendars.
Well, if Toyotathon is going, we should still be celebrating the birth of Christ. I mean, if you're, you know, put these on the scales. Well, there are many people who will celebrate or will say, actually, it's the Christmas season, even though the current calendar doesn't say it, all the way up to Candlemas, which is the 2nd of February. So that's even longer than Toyotathon.
As it should be.
Are you in the market for cars? Is that why you know when to? I could just get my finances in order by the 30th of January. Are you looking for a car?
I'm not. Okay. No, I'm good. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive then that you are aware of how long Toyotathon goes.
Keep track of these things. It's a hobby.
Let's start this segment with, we ask people about trends. We ask them what's a Catholic trend that gives them concern. What's a Catholic trend that gives them hope? And there's not really... This is such an open-ended question that it's kind of hard to say, you know, this was the big winner. There's not really something like that. But I wonder what you think. Do you want to start with your Catholic trends, or you want to hear some of the ones before you give us your Catholic negative trend of the year? We'll start with the negative. We'll end with the positive on all of these that come in pairs like that. You guys are in control of the show now. You want me to go say some of these and you can comment?
I like the negative stuff too. Always the fast before the feast. My negative was the increasing compartmentalization among Catholics.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how much of that is skewed by the fact that I'm in media and we pay close attention to social media, we pay close attention to blogs and internet chatter and that sort of thing. But it seems more and more and more that even Catholics that we would put in the general bucket of Orthodox faithful Catholics are getting more and more and more tribal and insensitive and disrespectful of those who should be their allies in the general Orthodox Catholic bucket.
What a great one. That is
well, it's a horrible well thing, said. But...
Yeah, but that you put your finger on something. And I like that you use the word compartmentalization, because that's really what it is. We're sticking ourselves in a silo, sort of, and we don't like the people in all those other ones.
And we're very reactionary about, maybe that's not quite the right word, but we're reactive in the disdain or any judgment that we make, positive or negative, when confronted by those of even a slightly different tribe.
I know. What's it called? The narcissism of small differences or something? Have you ever heard that?
Oh, phrase? I have heard that. That's a great expression.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to speak up a little bit for Catholic Answers, because we get this, you guys are cowards, you won't say what Michael Voris says or something like that. And I don't have any problem with Michael Voris saying whatever he says. He's done, I mean, some of the things he has done are quite brave. Fine, that's not what we do. And there's right. actually a reason why we don't do that. I'm not your enemy because I don't do what Michael Voris does. Like, why are you, but we get a lot of that. I don't know, do you get it in your departments? We get that.
Oh, sure. The publishing, general publishing email box that you find on Catholic.com, all of that stuff funnels to me. And we get, so maybe this is where some of my
maybe you should
basis
give
for this
that
comment
to somebody
is,
else for a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, well, we have to share the load. But to be sure, and you know, there's a biblical model for this, right? I mean, the hand is not the eye, is not the foot, is not the
right.
spleen or whatever else.
Yeah.
So we all have our mission, and we all build up the body in a particular way, and too often we hear, "You're not the eye. You need to be the eye." Why are you not the eye?
Right.
Yeah.
Because Michael Voris is the eye.
Of course, yeah.
I'm the, I don't know what.
He's the hair.
I don't want to say. Hey, there you go. He is. But yeah, but I mean, I don't like, what is it? I always get this wrong. Michael Shawn Winters or Shawn Michael Winters?
Shawn Michael Winters.
Shawn Michael Winters. Like, yeah, on the other side, you know, people will be like, well, you know, why aren't you brave? Like, again, he does fine work. If I'm in mass with him, I look forward to the, and this is how Vatican II I am, Todd. I look forward to giving him the handshake of peace. You know, like, why do we have to curse one another? Why can't we just bless one another and say, that's not what I do, but,
you know, God, so you just set me off for a second. In my parish, we stopped doing the handshake of peace because of COVID.
Oh, you moved back to the kiss of peace?
Because of COVID.
Oh, no, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yow. But now, because of COVID, we stopped doing it. And now the priest extends peace to the people, and we say, and with your spirit, and then there's this pause, and everyone starts hugging and kissing and shaking hands. It's like they're addicted to this tradition of the past that they can't give up.
Oh.
Even though the church is telling them now we're going in a new direction, and yet they cling, as it were, bitterly.
They're traditionalists.
To this tradition,
yeah.
And they really need to be accompanied and brought beyond
that. We should come up
with
a name for people like that. Because if you label people, that really shows your love for them.
Helps with the compartmentalization. See, we've come full circle now.
Tim, your trend.
Negative.
We're doing negative
trends.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I would have to say the increasing
dissension, public dissension, it's been gathering steam for many years, but amongst the world's bishops, you know, the bishops in Germany and
right.
the Danish bishops have just, you know, approved a blessing for same-sex marriages. And I mean, they're in clear contradiction to the church teaching, and they're bishops and they're cardinals.
It's yeah.
like, I love, my new word is incoherence. Bishop Papraki gave me that one, but yeah. it really does sponsor an incoherence for people that aren't tuned in enough or aren't strong enough in their faith. Like, well, what the heck does the Catholic Church believe? Yeah. And I think that's a terrible trend.
Yeah, there's something about, I mean, that's, everything you mentioned was European. So
well,
do you think the trend is worldwide, or do you think Europe is just going through the final throes of its de-Christianization?
I think Europe, they may be more vocal there. I think there are a lot of silent dissenters. Not a lot. There are silent dissenters here in this country, I think.
And there's dissension among U.S. bishops, too, certainly.
Yes, of
right.
course.
Yeah.
Right. And you see that as well. When Bishop Gomez issued that when Biden was elected, and very measured, we're looking forward to working with him, he's a good Catholic, but you know,
yeah.
he's a promoter of abortion and everything, we're you know, he raised a caution, and he just got excoriated for saying anything negative about Biden, you know,
by his fellow bishops.
Yes, I think by at least
Will
one
Gregory, at least yeah. some of them were critical of
and him. That's not even the one I was thinking of, so
yeah.
Well, then you have Cardinal Hollerich, who is the head of the European Bishops Conference, I think. He's done a lot of kind of testing of the electric
yes.
fence with some of his rhetoric yeah. on moral issues in particular.
But it's sexual revolution stuff. It's all sexual
yes.
stuff. None of them are going, we got to revisit this Arian thing because I think Arius might have been right. No, it's none of that. It's revisiting the sexual morality
right.
of the ancient world, basically. I mean, the sexual morality that was given to us by Jesus through the apostles, we just don't want that anymore.
Right.
And that's the key. If you just let us have this, bring the world into the, I mean, bring the church into the modern world or something, but it's a delusion. It's a delusion that if we just give in on, I don't know.
Not only a delusion, a slippery slope. Like if you give in on homosexuality, everything will be fine. Great. Oh, now it's transgenderism.
Yeah.
If you give in on transgenderism, everything's going to be great. There's going to be a next.
And just bake the cake.
Next topic.
And just shut up and bake the cake. You know, like that's what you'll get eventually is you've completely... marginalized what is the core position of the Catholic Church. And the core position
right.
of the Catholic Church on marriage is demonized. I mean, people openly mock that as bigotry. They don't use the word Catholic when they do it. They just openly mock the position as bigotry everywhere. Now.
Well, it's funny you mentioned bake the cake. I wouldn't be surprised and putting the best possible spin on it if some of the rhetoric of our leaders on these questions is designed as a kind of calculated compromise to forestall further incursions into religious freedom. It's a kind of Munich agreement maybe of on sexual morality. I think it's wrong-headed, but if that's their motive, it's at least laudable that they're thinking that far ahead.
Well, do you think that's what the Mormon church is doing? I mean, you see a lot of these churches like the Salvation Army and the Mormons. They've abandoned us. They've said, just go along with this as law. And don't try to defend marriage.
Yeah, this
anymore.
Is in the news right now because of the Respect for Marriage Act, which is just such a wonderful euphemism.
Yeah, come on.
We had the Inflation Reduction Act. I was joking with someone that when Catholics are eventually rounded up and put into camps, they're going to call it the Religious Freedom Restoration Act 2 or something like that.
I saw you said that.
Yeah,
I saw that comment.
Satan
yeah.
just, right, because Satan's detail-oriented. He loves,
yeah.
you know, spouting lies right up to the level of the name of the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think your response to my comment about religious freedom was...
That the Mormons and the
Mormons are in the news now because they completely capitulated on this,
yeah.
on this law that was just signed.
Well, they tried to find this weird middle ground of we still believe that marriage is this, but we think the law should be this. Which on some things, fine. Like there's certain things where I still believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. But I don't think that should be enshrined in law that you have to believe that. But this is a different thing. This is not a religious or spiritual
right.
understanding. This is a basic
right.
cultural, human right. moral precept. But I interrupted you, Todd. I apologize.
Oh no, not at all. I of course, turning it into a religious a religious dogma is part of the strategy of our opponents on these questions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. Abortion is just religion. Marriage is mm-hmm. just religion. All these. And then if you could say it's just religion, well, religious freedom then means that shut up. You know.
But it's funny though because it's also a strategy that our side uses and with some reason, because we have religious freedom protections enshrined in our laws. And so we say that we must not force that woman to bake the cake, yeah. not because there ought to be freedom of contract or freedom of artistic expression, but because she has this closely held religious belief that prevents right. her. So we kind of retreat to the ramparts of religion, but it may prove to be a losing strategy.
I think that you are right about that. I had not thought about that, but it strikes me that that's probably right because the curtailing, if you just retreat to it, the only thing that we can defend is our religious freedom. And not that we have a right to be in the public sphere saying this is immoral, this is wrong, this is destructive. Then there will get to a time where they say, well, you know, are you a church official? And if you're not, well, then you don't have a right to this view. You know, are you current? That's
it may play into their own arguments ultimately.
I want to share with some of what our listeners, the big trends among listeners, including the things that you mentioned, but also mentioned a lot of people see it as a negative trend that Catholics continue to vote pro-choice, and not just for pro-choice politicians. Mm-hmm. But vote for pro-choice stuff like Proposition 3 in Michigan or Proposition mm-hmm. 1 here. Like just out and out, there's no subtlety about it. Just voting for stuff that kills babies directly. Others, the lack of belief in the Eucharist, that's a trend that many, many people are concerned about. Then liturgical divisions. I'll get your comments on those when we come back because I realize I'm at the break now. We'll take a quick break. We're talking about our survey results. We surveyed our radio club and our Society 315 donors, and this is what they said were the big stories, positive and negative, of the year. We'll get back with we'll have more responses from Tim Ryland and Todd Aguilera right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
So we're just wrapping up one of the categories of our big end-of-year survey that we do each year here at Catholic Answers, and this was what trends among Catholics give you concern. We've gone through some of them, but Catholic support for pro-abortion politics, both politicians and ballot measures, loss of belief in the Eucharist. Did I mention another one? And just a general lack of faith also bothered people. It's just a sense that people are losing the faith.
Nuns.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned liturgy too.
Liturgy. Was the other one. Any thoughts on any of that? I mean, it all fits with what you were saying before.
Well, it's part of the long defeat. I don't know, except for the liturgy part, which seemed to be a little higher profile. Those are trends that predate 2022, certainly.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. And I may have exaggerated the liturgy one a little because, you know, like, I'm the filter. So, that's interesting. But it certainly was on the list several times. But and as I said, it's hard to – collating these is hard because people will say sometimes the same thought in very different ways. And you're like, are those two under the same category? And what? So it's a lot of judgment call on this. But I think generally I've given a fair impression of what people had to say. I'm trying to see if there's if there's like for someone, lack of faith is one person, and then someone else writes too many empty pews. Well, is that the same point? I think it's the same point, but
yeah, I would think so too.
Yes, I mean not to you could make a pedantic distinction there, but hardly worth the trouble.
All right, you want to do some positive trends?
Yes,
we're moving. Look at that, Todd, enthusiastic.
I'm ready for positivity. It's almost the new year.
Never mind. I'm going to move on. Okay. So positive trends. What did you? We'll start with you. Did you have a positive trend in the Catholic?
I think churches? The positive trend is the dissension between bishops in the world.
That's so interesting.
And let me tell you why.
That's a very interesting take. Go ahead. Why?
Because we have the Corleones and the Paprocchis of the world speaking out, finally, and calling what my dad used to say, calling a spade a dirty old shovel, and calling names. In Bishop Paprocchi's article that's coming out, he tells the story. He tells the story of how the incoherence came into the USCCB statement because he says it. He says McCarrick withheld information from Pope John Paul II until this thing had been written by the
I gotta
American
say
bishops.
This. I love this about Paprocchi.
I do too.
But he doesn't say general things like, "Well, we lost our way." He just names the names of the people who did
it. And I think that's a fairly new thing.
Yeah.
And I do think that Archbishop Corleone coming out and being so brave regarding Pelosi has energized the bishops certainly and the people in the pews that are longing for coherence in their faith. So it's odd, but I think
it's a negative in the sense that we have this dissension because there's all this, what should we call it, innovation. Entrepreneurialism in Catholic morality,
right.
But we also have the dissension because there are bishops who have the guts to stand up and do what's right.
Yes. So
you buy that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, did you have a positive trend you want to share with us from the year?
Yeah, I thought about this. You know, I mentioned that I'm the bay into which all the tributaries of our website email contacts often flow. And so I get not only the complaint department stuff, but also really inspiring accounts of people coming back to the faith or people coming back to God. And despite all the cynicism, despite all the distractions that the world places in front of us, despite all the worries of our times, people still find the grace of conversion operating in their lives.
Yes.
And respond
praise
to
God.
It.
Right.
And they are being enlightened to the fullness of Christian truth. They are coming out of sin and darkness in their lives, and reforming them and seeking out the sacramental grace to do better. And they're being very serious and intentional about it. And each one of those not only gives us hope for the mission of Catholic Answers and the work that we do, and as much as we're God's instrument in bringing that about, but also for the church and the world in general.
Well said, beautifully said. One of the things that people worried about was the loss of faith in the Eucharist. That was on our negatives. And one of the things that people think is positive is the Eucharistic revival. And I agree. I think the Eucharistic revival is good, and it's going well, and it will bear fruit. I do think it'll bear fruit.
Can I push back on that for a second?
No. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
What are you seeing that? So one of my negative comments that I had stored up for later was bore a little bit on the Eucharistic revival. But what are you seeing concretely that makes you think it's bearing fruit?
I'm seeing people doing. Making media efforts with books and video and all that to do it, and some of them are really good, quite good, and I think they will affect people. Like these two the women Catholic radio hosts in Iowa, where I just visited at Iowa Catholic Radio, made an absolutely beautiful 5, maybe 6 minute documentary on what actually happens at the Mass that will just blow your mind. It's so good, and I think it'll reach young people. I think they'll see it and get it. I think it's being made in forms that are accessible to people. It's not just bishops, you know, writing a letter, which is fine and everything, but that should be the beginning point for the church, where we go, okay, we got the marching orders, let's go do something. But I think people are doing great stuff like that. And the other thing is, from what I'm hearing, more and more people are taking up Eucharistic adoration. And I think that's that saves souls, Eucharistic adoration. But go ahead, push back on my beautiful.
No, but that was my pushback. So yes, I think maybe in some places it is limited to, well, the bishop wrote this letter, we're going to read it at Sunday Mass. Here you go, we read it.
Yeah.
Continue. You
okay,
know, carry
that's
on.
What we were doing.
And I guess a general a general lack of trust again in process. Here we're going to spend a lot of money. We're going to create a program. We're going to make everyone in the parish do it, or everyone in the diocese do it. Okay, we did the program.
Yeah. What's the next program?
Yeah. And I'm much more of a believer in kind of an organic way of spreading and deepening the faith through families, through example, rather than through. I'm in the job of publishing Catholic books, and I certainly don't doubt their efficacy, but I think that they're second to the more principal ways that we spread and deepen the faith. So the jury's out in my mind. I do hope, and of course I laud the bishops for intentionally doing something.
Yeah.
But I think the jury's out on what the long-term effect of that will be.
All right, fair enough. Only one person mentioned this as a trend, but I was so taken with this response that I wanted to share it with you and get your response. This person chose for the most positive Catholic trend of 2022, Mary tattoos. I just wondered what you thought about that.
Didn't Father Mike Schmitz get one?
Did Father Mike Schmitz? Does anybody know? Did he get a Mary tattoo? Edgar says, yeah. He thinks that happened.
That's why.
Mary tattoo. I honestly didn't even know that was a trend.
All right.
Because I don't look at people's tattoos. I feel like somehow I'm being intrusive. Isn't that weird? Like they're putting on their body so you can see it, but I feel like, I know that you got them, but I just can't. It's a weird squeamishness about tattoos.
one of the soccer players for the Netherlands team in the World Cup had one on his upper arm, and I thought, all right, you know, he's on TV in front of a billion people,
right?
That's a kind of witness, I guess. Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah. But then, like, sometimes it'll be somebody who's got, like, it's sort of a satanic Mary, you know, like they do like some weird kind of, I don't know, like from some cult, you know, like. Oh, look at that. He just sent me a picture of he got Father Mike got this tattoo.
Oh, so he's got the Jerusalem cross and the IHS.
Cross. Yeah. He got the cross a few years ago.
Yeah. Why do you send us a picture of Father Mike's face with it? Like, you're like, look how pretty this man is, and he got this on his arm. Why we don't need the face picture.
At least he didn't show you
but
his
look at him.
Guns.
I mean, yeah, that's a good I know. And here's Father Mike at the beach. And here's Father Mike on the trapeze. All right. I just thought Mary tattoos was one that you all might like. Also, there was one that was in addition to Eucharistic adoration. Several people mentioned an increase in the number of people praying the rosary. I think that's probably true, but I don't. That'd be anecdotal. Mm. Do you think? I mean, that is, if it's happening, it's a good one. This person wrote, seems like there are fewer James Martin tweets. That's a positive trend. Who wrote that? I gotta find
Someone's
out.
Someone's tracking that someplace. I want objectivity on this question.
I know. I'm gonna go with Mary tattoos. It's even better than that. But
just count your blessings wherever you find them, I guess.
One of the nice things about the survey is every now and then you do see a really funny response, like people will, and I don't want to encourage people to not take it seriously, but every now and then you do. And also I should mention this. I don't know why I went so, but several people also mentioned Catholic media as a positive trend. One person, I assume this was a Catholic media response, just wrote Baron Schmitz, etc.
I like that. There's a certain
Kellett wasn't in there. Baron Schmitz.
But I feel like Catholic answers must be in the et cetera part.
Yeah,
like, you were part of the
we'll
et cetera,
take it.
Right? Baron Schmitz, et cetera. Yeah, so we got another hour with you guys. Will you do another hour with Woo-hoo. Us? And it'll include revealing who the Catholic Person of the Year is.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's coming up on Catholic Answers Live.
It's exciting.
Each year in December, we send out a survey to the Catholic Answers Radio Club members. You can join by sending an email to radio@catholic.com. We also send it to members of the Society 315. You can join that. Just put in your Google machine, Society 315, and go there and give $10 a month, and then you're part of the Society 315. And you get all sorts of free stuff when you join those things. A lot of it's really good stuff. And then you get to be part of the annual end-of-year survey that we do, and then we spend lots of fun hours talking with really smart people like our guests today, Tim Ryland and Todd Agliolaro, talking about the survey results and getting all kinds of cool answers like Baron Schmitz. Et cetera. It's like Tinkers to Evers to Chance. Nice. Take a break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.